Buenos días.
The reading this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Of course, I forgot my glasses. Oh, there they are. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and with steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For it is this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. Let's open with a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. Open this morning our minds and hearts to receive your word today. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we may grow in understanding and in love. In Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we started the second letter, Peter, to the churches in Asia Minor. And do you remember what was the reason for this letter? Someone remember what was the reason for this letter? Well, Peter wrote to warn the church about attacks coming from within the church. And so last Sunday, we learned how our faith given by grace is the starting point of our spiritual journey. We emphasize how growing in knowledge deepens our relationship with God, and holding fast to his precious promises keep us safe from spiritual attacks. So we saw last Sunday three columns to keep us safe from the attacks that comes within the church: faith, knowledge, and promises. So today's passage, in this morning, I'm reminded of the incredible journey in the Lord of the Rings. How many of you have read the books or saw the movies? Okay, so you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So, picture Frodo Baggins, an ordinary guy from the Shire, unexpectedly tasked with the enormous responsibility of taking the One Ring to the fires of Mordor and destroying it, thus ending its power to rule them all. Frodo Baggins is not a warrior or an elf or a wizard. He is just a small hobbit in a big, dangerous world. But Frodo doesn't back down. He is determined to leave everything behind. And he keeps moving forward despite the overwhelming odds, the treacherous paths, and the lurking enemies. I love at the beginning of the book when Frodo says, "I will take the ring, though I do not know the way." So yes, I'm going to take the ring to Mordor, but I don't know the way. Even though he is uncertain about the way, he have the courage and the commitment to take that responsibility. He knew maybe the dangers, yet he pressed on, understanding that staying put wasn't an option for him. And this idea of constant progression and commitment is not only vital in grand adventures or monumental projects, but is crucial as well in our spiritual lives. And in 2 Peter chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, the Apostle Paul lays out the path. He's answering Frodo's question. "I don't know the way." Well, Peter here, for all of us, is laying out the path for us, a ladder of qualities that we must climb to safeguard our faith and grow into a mature Christianity. And so, Peter begins with this foundational truth, as we saw last week. The first thing that he is mentioning here is faith. And as we learned last Sunday, this faith is not something we create by ourselves. It is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And I'm going to read it again because my purpose is that one day we are going to memorize this verse. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." By faith, 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 we have been saved. But faith is not the end. It is just the beginning. If we start reading the first part of verse 5 that we have for this morning, in chapter 1, verse 5, Peter starts saying, "For this very reason, make every effort. Do not spare time or resources. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith." Our journey starts with faith, but Peter emphasizes that it must be built upon. We are to add to our faith, not in a way that earns our salvation, but in a way that deepens and strengthens our walk with Christ. James put it in a very, very clear words. But faith without works is dead. So think of faith as the fertile soil in which we plant our seeds of spiritual growth. Without faith, there is no foundation. There is no starting point. But in the opposite way, is the foundation where we start building upon. And so notice how these verses start. Verse 5 to 7 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Here Peter outlines a list of qualities that we are to pursue diligently after we receive the faith. That doesn't mean that this is to earn a favor before God, but is to build upon the faith that we have already once we believe. So the first virtue, the first quality that Peter is presenting here is virtue. Or you can call it goodness. In verses, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue or with goodness. Our faith should produce a desire to live in a way that reflects God's holiness. Peter says those who have received faith should be noted for their acts of love and kindness, lest faith be confined merely to attendance at Sunday worship. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul encouraged us to think about things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, commendable, excellent, and worth of praise. But it's not just to think about these things. It's to think about these things and how we can do these things. Things that are true. Things that are honorable. Things that are just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Those are actions. So goodness is about aligning our character with these qualities. But the next on the list is to supplement virtue or goodness with knowledge. This is not just intellectual understanding, but a deep experiential knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10 urges to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. And then it says, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We must seek to know Him more in order to live a practical, godly life. This knowledge guides us in making wise and godly decisions. In practical ways. But to knowledge, Peter says, add self-control. As our understanding grows, so should our capacity to regulate our desires and impulses may grow as well, ensuring that they are in harmony with God's will. Self-control. Self-control. Knowledge with self-control. It's not just about doing things. It's not doing things as well. You see how beautiful Peter is presenting this? This knowledge of God is helping us to do some things, but as well help us, prevent us not to do some other things. Proverbs 25:28 serves as a powerful analogy, comparing a lack of self-control to a city that has been breached and left defenseless without walls. Self-control safeguards against the entanglements of sin, empowering us to lead lives characterized by godly disciplines and godly restraints. So supplement your faith with goodness. Supplement your faith with knowledge, self-control. And the next one is supplement all these with perseverance. The Christian life is not a spring. It's not a sprint, I'm sorry. It's not a spring as well. It looks like a winter. Long and hard. But the Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 encourage us, therefore. Notice how the writer of Peter, after talking about the gallery of faith, those who live actively their faith in chapter 11, then the writer of Hebrews starts chapter 12 saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Notice, it's not just sinful things that we need to get rid of. There are good things that they are in our way that we need to get rid of as well. There are things that are not bad in itself. But Peter, the writer of Hebrews, is saying those things too, there are things that are going to prevent you to run the race that you have ahead of you. So he says, let us so lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. I love how the Bible is connected. This is Hebrews talking about what Peter is talking about. Without contradiction. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In verse 2, the first part of verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Wow, that's amazing, eh? The same thing. We must hold fast to our faith, even in the face of trials and temptations. In the 17th century, France, a young woman named Mary Durant showed incredible perseverance. She was imprisoned for 38 years for refusing to give up her faith. Along with 30 other women, she endured harsh conditions in a tower near to the sea. Despite the hardships, Mary stood firm in her faith. And visitors today can look inside the prison and see the word that she wrote, resist. It's French. That's my French. But in English is resist. Resist. How you say resist in French, Danielle?
Resistance.
Resistance. This woman enters, a young woman. Never get married. Never fulfilled any of her dreams with 30 other women. But she wrote on those walls, resist. She died there. But like Paul was saying, I have race. I have run the race. I have resisted. And now is awaiting a crown that the Lord himself is going to give, not just to me, was saying Paul, but to everyone who resists, who endures. So supplement your faith with virtue, with knowledge, with self-control, with perseverance. And now he says, supplement all these with godliness. The next on the list is godliness. Godliness is a reverent awareness of God in every aspect of life. It's living without a continual consciousness of his presence and a desire to please him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness reflects a life devoted to worship and service God. Godliness is like a compass. It guides us toward God, guiding our decisions, actions, and attitudes in alignment with his will. You remember the first virtue is goodness. You remember? Virtue means goodness. Goodness is the things that everybody sees that we do. But godliness is not what we do in front of others, but what we do when nobody is seeing us. That is godliness. There are things that nobody sees you doing it, but you do them because there is a God that is constantly with you, seeing you. That is the difference between goodness and godliness. But you add to all this, supplement your faith with mutual affections. This term impacts every relationship among Christians, regardless of whether it's in the home, at school, at work, on the street, or in the church. Christians are urged to show kindness, regardless of who the recipient may be. There is no place for favoritism in God's kingdom. Are we known for our kindness? Not just to animals, but to all people? The Greek word Peter uses here for brotherly kindness is Philadelphia, a common term in Roman society for close relationship in a family unit. So the first readers of this letter may have been surprised to learn that relationships in the church should be this intimate, this close. It was shocking to them that strangers in the church should be treated as family, as you treat your husband, your wife, your children, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. That was shocking for the society that day, at that time. And it's shocking for us as well. We tend to see, no, is my family, and you are not. Yeah, this is church and this is family. And Peter says, Philadelphia. And at the end, supplement all this with love. This is the crowning quality. It is the selfless, sacrificial love that reflects the heart of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, easy to memorize, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. I was talking to my wife yesterday and she taught me something interesting. She asked me, why is love the only one? And I was, yeah, that's a good question. And she told me, Marvin, one day we will not need faith because we are going to be seeing Christ face to face. One day we will not be in need of hope. But love is going to endure forever. So that's the cherry on top of the ice cream. We are called to pursue these qualities in increasing measure. There is no point at which we can say we have arrived. Our growth in these areas must be ongoing and progressive. And Peter tells us why we need to grow. And you see in verses 8 and 9, if you read with me, verses 8 and 9, it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. The purpose of this spiritual growth is to ensure that our faith is not stagnant, but active and fruitful. When we grow in these virtues, in these qualities, our lives become effective. We become effective witnesses of Christ's transforming power. We bear fruit that brings glory to God and benefit others. But in the other hand, if we neglect this growth, we become, according to Peter, blind, forgetting the grace that saves us. We lose sight of the bigger picture of God's work in our lives and his purposes for us. We become blind when we forget that the purpose of receiving faith, the purpose of being saved, is not for our own pleasure or for our own benefit. First is for God's glory, and second is for the benefit of God's kingdom. So if we don't move, we become blind, thinking that I'm happy because I am happy. We do not bear fruit. And so Peter then tells us, make verse 10 and 11. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Here comes again Peter saying, you want to overcome the attacks that are going to come within the church? Well, make an effort to confirm your calling, that you have been saved by grace and your election, that you have been chosen for a purpose. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This diligent pursuit of these virtues provides assurance of our calling and our election. It shows, it gives proof that you have received this saving faith and that you are walking in that faith. It affirms that we are indeed part of God's family. While our salvation is secure in Christ, our continual growth in these areas confirms and strengthens our assurance. I don't know how I can love this person that I don't like, but I love her. I love him. That is confirming that you have a love that is not yours, but is the love of Christ. A church that you have received something that doesn't belong to you, but belongs to the one who saved you. Assurance. This pursuit leads to a stability. Peter says, we will never, if we do these things, we will never stumble. It doesn't mean that we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but our overall direction will be firm and steady. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 reassures us. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. For the Lord upholds his hand. As we conclude, the Christian life is a journey of continuous growth. Staying put, my dear friends, is not an option. Let's commit today to growing in our faith, examining our progress, and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us in our growth and reveal any stagnation. Let us encourage one another, share our struggles and victories, pray for each other and hold each other accountable. Let us keep the end in view. Let the vision of becoming more like Christ inspire you to keep moving forward. Let's grow in goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and mutual affection. Let's love. May we shine brightly with the character of Christ, knowing that glory awaits. Can you see that? Glory awaits us in eternity. Heavenly Father, We thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you for the call to grow in it. May our lives be effective and fruitful in your service. Strengthen, keep us from stumbling, and safely bring